This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil Summers, down here in the Alamo Dome of San Antonio. Although David and Tammy are back in studio, how are you guys this morning?
We're nice and cool in the AC.
I bet. It's different to not all be in the same room together. And I'm in this empty stadium all by myself. Me and the cleaning crew.
That's really?
That's
bizarre.
You can still call us, 877-881-1053, and always fan texts 43733, and you can call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234.
And this is a good weekend to call. Is there still the pre-owned sale going on?
Yeah, well, we've always got something going on. We've got we've still got a lot of lease returns that have come in over the last few weeks, and there's some great, great cars, great deals, low-mile cars, a lot of them with a lot of factory warranty still left on them, and, of course, they've been well-maintained. We keep only the best.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, since you're not here, we can't see each other to say, it's my turn.
I know.
Anyway, I was going to say, I've kept my finger on the pulse with all the great trade-ins that have come in, so really, if you're looking for some good merchandise, call us, because not everything gets listed on the web in real time. There's just not enough time. Everything happens so quickly, but we're getting some good merchandise in. So if you have a list of vehicles that you're interested in, get in touch with a leasing specialist now. Tell them what you're looking for so we can watch for it. And the day that we get that vehicle in, they can call you, because that's how it works. About a week and a half ago, one guy was working a deal on this one car for his client, but by that night, an hour after they talked, it was already sold by another person. There were three guys working a deal on the same car, and that's how fast the good merchandise goes.
So you got to call today.
Act now. You need to be ready. Yes, be ready.
817 or 972-234-1234 again is the phone number. Well, let's get right into it, because I noticed in the news today, lots of recalls going on, including Chrysler.
Yeah, you know, Chrysler's issuing their second recall on minivans. This time they've decided they need to recall 300,000 minivans.
Ouch.
That's a lot. These are going to be Town and Countries made in 2008. They issued a statement. It's actually not 300,000. It's only 299,718.
Oh, okay. Oh, so not quite 300.
Stop trying to round up, Dave, and make
exactly.
A big number.
And the problem with them is that the ORC module, which is the module that basically controls the airbags, may have become moist at some time during the manufacturing and or operation of the vehicle. And if it has, it could, in fact, cause the little light to come on the dash, saying that the airbag was defective. Or it could cause the airbag to deploy, which is certainly a surprise as you're driving down the road.
And this is actually right. Related to a prior recall of the same vehicle in January to replace the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning drain grommet, which had the potential to leak moisture into the area of that module. So now they're having to replace the module just in case, because you don't want your airbags to not work.
Right.
That'd be much bigger problem for them later on.
Was there something with air conditioning, too?
Well, it's that drain. It's the grommet on a tube that going from that HVAC drain.
Gotcha.
So that's what it was.
Maybe one of the bigger things that that happened this last week is Consumer Reports came out and just slammed the new Honda Civic.
And this was a shocker to
me. Because they had the Civic has always been rated as one of the best cars, or in fact, five of the last 10 years, it was rated as the best car.
I am sure Honda's like, I.
Well, and they know what happened, though. I mean, what they did, it went from a very good rating of 78 to a very mediocre rating of 61, which put it in second place as the second worst car behind the Volkswagen Jetta.
Now, that's hard to do.
Well, and you know what?
To do to a Honda, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The Jetta, even though it's rated as one of the worst cars, they cut the price $4,000.
Which made it more appealing.
And it's a lot more appealing, and a lot of people have bought the Jetta, and a lot of people like it. But fit and finish-wise, it's not a perfect car, certainly. Evidently, the new Honda, and this is a result of the dollar-yen imbalance.
Right.
But with the price of the yen and the dollar what they are, it costs them more to build and import cars now, so they've had to cut back on the quality, especially on the interior of the Civic. And that is the
that's
the real
problem. Well, they've had to cut back on cost, and that's the area they went to.
Exactly.
Making the interior, well, the term is plasticky.
Plasticky.
Okay, in my opinion, it's been plasticky. Yeah, cars are plasticky now. They've got to make them lighter so that we can, you know, hit that 55 miles per gallon by 2025 or whatever.
So Consumer Reports, though, said that it's cheap plasticky.
Oh, cheap plastic.
I think that's the difference.
Must be recycled instead of the original. It's a second or third time around bottle rather than a first generation bottle.
Now, Honda says, even though it may be cheap plasticky, that it gets great gas mileage.
And that is the bottom line. People want good fuel economy, and that's what they'll sacrifice. I think that's the bottom line, is you're going to sacrifice some of these interior trimmings to get your good fuel economy.
Well, we'll talk about that, because it's certainly going to, there'll have to be sacrifices made.
Well, and one of the points I thought of when reading this story, Dave, was, is this going to be the way now, when the economy took its hit, and while we struggle a bit with the economy, does that mean we can all expect poorer quality?
Well,
is that what's really going to happen? Because they're going to have to cut costs somewhere. Is it going to wind up affecting the quality of things?
It could. It very well could. And, you know, we're going to talk about that a little later in the show, because there's a whole lot of news about the new government-mandated fuel economies for the year between now and 2025. And some of the trade-offs that we'll all have to be willing to make in order to make that work, or will we?
Compromise.
Mm. Yeah. That's an interesting word, compromise, because sometimes it can mean people get their heads together, and sometimes it means people get strong-armed into making decisions.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, good news. Okay. The 2012 Ford Explorer is going to come out with their EcoBoost engine with a base price of $29,990.
Wow. Well, don't get too excited, peeps.
I just got excited.
That's the base price, though.
Well, you can get it up to $39,560 if you load it up, make it a limited, give it a big V8 and all that neat stuff. But $29,990 is a good place to start
for
that
car.
Not
too bad, really.
They can advertise that, and they will. And then the EcoBoost engine is a really, really good powertrain system.
Yes, it is.
So you get great gas mileage, and it's fairly powerful.
What I'm excited about is this four-cylinder.
Yeah, with the turbo. But now that's the most expensive way to go. That costs more than anything else.
Well, I know. But what I'm going to do when I get back to the office next week is the math. I'm going to do the math to see how long it takes to recoup your cost of spending the extra money for that turbocharged four-cylinder, but to get the 28 miles per gallon on the highway and to be able to drive an SUV. So there could be a cost that some people are willing to make.
Yeah, you know, I wonder, where is the tipping point? Is it worth it to pay more for a car that's going to get you better gas mileage or better economy if you can't save enough to make up for the difference in payment?
Well,
how many people are willing to be green if it costs them money?
Well, no, I don't think you're going to get the person that's going to drive this versus the Civic. You might get the person that'll drive this versus the Suburban or the Honda Pilot or, you know. That's what I mean. That's the customer that's going to go for that car.
I understand, but I mean, I think it's a fairly basic equation if you figure out what the four-cylinder turbo is going to cost, and then look at that against the EcoBoost.
Right.
How much money is it going to cost you, and then how much money are you going to save in gasoline, if any?
Right.
And then is it worth it to you? Do you spend the extra money to get the car that gets better gas mileage?
Right. Well, some people will, but I want to do the math to see what the reality is. And then the bottom line is, this is what they're saying it gets. What?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Reality does it get? Because there's another story in here later where they say, who is it? Is it Hyundai that says their car gets 40?
It gets 29.
Consumer Reports says it gets 29.
Yeah. Well, that's always the situation, though, because
lies. Lies. Yeah.
Generally, there's about a 25% discrepancy in what the EPA rates a car. Because the cars that the EPA rates are sent into a laboratory, they sit in one place, and they run on a machine called a dynamometer. Mm. And as the wheels spin, it drives some other wheels that record the speed, and then they measure the amount of gas used and determine what the mileage is. But the car's static. It's sitting still in a laboratory with the wheels spinning. No wind, no passengers, no. So generally, there's about a 25% difference.
Now, no distracted drivers.
No distracted drivers. Yeah, the difference between 40 miles per gallon, which is what Hyundai claims on their Sonata, and the the Elantra.
A car.
And 29 is huge.
That's
bigger.
11 miles. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's more than 25%.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Okay.
All right, we got to take a quick break here, but stay tuned. We'll be back shortly with the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
AutoFlex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with your hosts, David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, and me, Sybil Summers. We're here every Saturday morning for you till 10 o'clock. You can give us a call, 877-881-1053. Also, fan texts, 43733. Anything you want to ask. David and Tammy are back in the studio. I am here at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. You can also call AutoFlex. They're open for your business today. What are the phone numbers, David?
Please call. Please call AutoFlex. Numbers are 817 or 972-234-1234. But don't call AutoFlex unless you want to save money. Let's say that.
Okay. Right. Okay. And yesterday we talked about 2012 models already available.
Yeah. You know, if you're out there looking for a 2012, you're going to see a lot of lease deals out there. I think AutoFlex pretty well beats everybody on 2012 leases right now. That's generally how it works.
We don't just beat them, we whoop them.
We whoop them. No. We do whoop them.
And that's every make, every model. It's
you
not
bet.
Exclusive to just Hondas or just Chryslers or anything else.
But new
AutoFlex
and used.
Has every brand.
But more importantly, a lot of our clients, Sybil, are calling looking for a payment more than a car because mm-hmm. they have a budget in mind. You know, we all have a budget.
Right.
Not all of us are so lucky that we can just go out and pick the car we want to drive and pay for it no matter what it costs. We have a budget. So if you want to find a way to get the most for your money, it's AutoFlex because we deal with all makes and models. So if you've got an idea of what you can spend and how long, and what features you want, then we can help you get the most car for your money. And if you want to know which cars are going to, you know, be the most reliable and keep you out of the service department and on the road and doing your business, we'll help you with that. If you've got an idea about a specific car and we happen to know that that car's just not been too great, too reliable from feedback from our other clients, then we'll let you know and you can make your own decision. So you'll get some good, honest feedback too.
In addition to setting your own budget and your own payment, you can also set your own mileage. I actually had somebody tweet me, 8Bell8, he asked, what's the most miles per year you're allowed on a lease? And it's very flexible.
We actually have one lease program that will do 40,000 miles a year. Now, I have to stress that that's not going to be your cheapest payment, of course, because a lease is based on the depreciation of a vehicle. And we haven't covered this in a long time, what a lease does really. What you're paying for is the part of the car that you use, all right? So if you go in and say, I want to drive this car for 4 years, and on the average I drive 20,000 miles per year because I live in McKinney and drive down to Dallas every day. So
that's
I drive
me.
20, I know. So there's 20,000, but you do a whole lot more than that.
Right.
That's just your to and from the station, I'm sure.
I drive to and from San Antonio.
I know that too, right? So 20,000 miles a year, after 4 years, that car has 80,000 miles on it.
Yikes.
So the lease payment is going to be based upon that much use of the car. So at the end, the car still has a value, and we basically predict the future value of the car, subtract that amount of money from the total loan amount, and that's what your payment is based on. The really nice thing there, Sybil, is when you get to the end of the lease, if for some reason you have some positive equity, and right now that's been happening a lot of times because of the economy and the way things are going, and I won't go into the whole story right now, but you have the ability to trade that car in and use that equity toward your next vehicle. But most of the time, you're the other direction. The car is worth less than the bank predicted on the residual value, and then you give it back, and you don't have to worry about being upside down like so many people are when they buy a car and go to trade it in before it's paid off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you save a lot of money. It keeps you from being upside down. You get to drive a newer car more often. You know, if you want to drive a car that has warranty, we can put an extended warranty on it to cover you if you're driving miles past the, you know, factory warranty. You can have a completely protected, secure lease, loan, however you want to set it up, and only at AutoFlex on any make or model that you're interested in.
So let AutoFlex work for you. Again, the number 817 or 972-234-1234. Also, AutoFlex.com. And while you're there, click the Facebook link. You can follow along with all the stories we talk about right here on this very show.
Yeah, you can also see the new Fiat 500 TV commercial, which is pretty darned interesting. We'll talk about it later in the show, but they've resurrected Elvis to sell Fiat 500s.
And you can see that through our Facebook, right?
Exactly. You can go to the Facebook page, look for that story on the new Fiat 500, which is Fiat's first entry into the American automotive business since they were sending over Fix It Again, Tonys. And it's interesting. Like I say, we'll talk about it a little later in the show, but it's one of those nostalgia things, which is sort of strange.
Well, I'm going to give that car a little review along with the 2000, the new Honda Civic that they are trashing, and come back and kind of give my report on that. I'm really interested to see what Fiat is bringing in for their first, unveiling of cars in the U.S. again in such a long time.
Well, right now, let's talk a little 55 miles per gallon and see if everyone's truly happy about it.
Okay, there you go, rounding up. It's 54.5.
Well, this last week there was a giant gathering of automotive heads. Automotive heads of the automotive industry.
A gathering of giant heads.
Yes.
Of the automotive
nobodies.
Could be. Anyway, they all got up on a stage. President Obama was there, and they announced the new 54.5 mile per gallon mandate coming from the government for cars that will be built in the year 2025. And of course, this is a scaled run up of mileage between now and then, which means basically we're going to double the efficiency of the cars that are on the road between now and then.
All right, let's say this is not going to be all cars, right? This is only going to be.
Well, no, it's cars and light trucks.
Okay.
But the light trucks don't have the same mandate. That was part of the deal that was made to get the manufacturers to endorse this.
Okay, well, somebody,
because they got to sell trucks. They make a lot of money off of them. And we got to use them for work. So they can't hold them to the same standards, or if they do, the manufacturers would be put in a real bind, so then they weren't going to back this deal.
Okay,
that's how the government got them to back it.
McCallenden said that hybrid cars cost about $6,500 more than similar conventional cars, and says that they've been told Americans want 60-mile-per-gallon vehicles in surveys. And he doesn't believe that. He notes that surveys don't usually explain that it will take 3 to 5 years to recoup the extra cost through improved gas mileage. And he wishes 3 to 5 years. That's if probably they drive 30 to 40,000 miles per year. If you're an average 12 to 15,000 mile a year driver, it's going to take you a lot longer to recoup that fuel economy, I believe. I mean, that's just my opinion. And the other thing is, why is the government mandating what the cars should get for fuel economy and forcing these manufacturers to do it, when I believe that the people who want to buy the fuel-efficient car will go buy that car, and those who don't care will go buy their sports car or Suburban or whatever, right?
Well, I think that I think everybody may have some different feelings on that. If you want to chime in on that, it's 877-881 1053-877-881-1053, or the fan text 43733. Let us know. I mean, if you want to drive a car that gets 55 miles per gallon, and you're willing to pay somewhere between $2,000 and $8,400 more for that car than you would right now, because that's really the EPA said it's going to cost $2,000 more to build a car that doubles the efficiency that we have right now.
So what are they going to do with all the older models that don't get that same efficiency? Do they take them off the roads?
No,
and that's part of the the strangeness of the equations that they're throwing out there right now. Because as cars cost more, people tend to buy new cars less.
Often, right. Yes.
So, and they keep their older cars because it's going to cost them more to buy a new car.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one part of the equation, is how many people will stop buying cars because they cost more and keep their car longer. And, cars run longer and drive longer now.
Okay, I have a couple of points to add to that. Number A, it ain't going to cost no $2,000 to double the fuel economy in a car. Anybody disagree with me on that one? I mean, $2,000 is all it's going to cost? Please. It's going to be a lot more expensive than that. Secondly, they're saying that this will increase jobs for engineers, which is great. First of all, we need more engineers in this world.
Right.
Definitely in this country. It would increase more jobs for engineers, but I think that will decrease the jobs for the new car sales industry. But it might increase jobs for mechanics to keep the older cars on the road. So, I mean, there is a little cycle there. It's going to increase some jobs, decrease others. But the EPA has no clue what it will cost to double the economy, the fuel economy in a car.
Well, and the other part of the equation that they're using to talk about how much money you'll save because your car gets better gas mileage is they're saying that the price of gasoline, well, in order for these numbers to work, would have to be well over $5 a gallon.
Right.
There's really no guarantee one way or another.
Right. They have no crystal ball.
Yeah, they can't tell what the price of fuel will be.
Well, who knows? And who knows what other kind of deals they were striking behind closed doors, Dave? Maybe they do know. Maybe this is a hint, ladies and gents.
Yeah.
Maybe this means that we need to do like Southwest Airlines and go buy our gas and store it.
Right.
Do we have a caller?
We do. We
have a
Russell from Weatherford.
Hello, Russell. You're on with David, Tammy, and Sybil.
How y'all doing?
We're good. How
good
are you,
morning.
Russell?
I'm doing great. My question was, I'm looking for a vehicle that gets at least 40 miles to a gallon. I was wondering what vehicle you would recommend.
Honda Civic Hybrid?
Yeah, a Civic Hybrid or Prius, and I'd probably recommend a Prius over a hybrid. And I'm not a huge hybrid fan.
Well, no, the Prius is a hybrid.
But no, I know, but I'm not a huge hybrid fan. But at the same time, it's going to get you the gas mileage you're looking for.
Oh.
The question is, I don't know how long it takes you at today's gallons per dollar to save enough money to make up for the difference. You might, if it's me, I'd probably look at a Ford Focus because it's going to get you the same kind of mileage the Prius is, but it's going to cost you less money than the hybrid technology.
That's true. We have a little computer program at work. I put in the different prices of gas and the different mileage, and you can kind of see how long it'll take you to recoup that cost. But how many miles a year do you drive?
I drive about 84 miles a day. Round trip.
For him, right. It takes him a little less time, Dave.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to save some money.
You're going to recoup your cost a lot faster than the average driver. So,
I'm really big on the Ford Focus. I think it's a good car. We've had good feedback on it, and it gets great gas mileage.
And I wouldn't be afraid of a standard Honda Civic either. It's a few miles per gallon less than a hybrid, but again, low cost of maintenance. Long-term reliability.
Right.
We know a lot more about these cars than we do with the whole hybrid battery issue. Just don't know. There's too many question marks there. So far, it's been good with the Prius. They've been out the longest. But what I do know is this the regular gasoline Civic that also gets in the high 30s as another option. And like David said, the Ford Focus.
Does the Focus get 40?
No, it gets in the mid to high 30s.
Mid to high
30s,
I think, is what you can depend on, yeah.
And we don't have all those programs up on these computers in the studio.
The Civic is going to do the same thing.
But if you call the offices at Autoflex, those guys have all of that information on their computers.
They can actually tell you.
Yes.
You know, I was looking at a lease, but it would have to be a high mileage lease.
And you can do that, but we also sell those vehicles pre-owned. And these guys can also give you an option to do a lease to own. With those higher miles, we can show you a lot of different ways that a lease might benefit you. And if it won't, then maybe the retail is better. But give them a call, 817 or 972-234-1234.
I'll do it. I appreciate it very much. Y'all have a great day.
You
Thank
too,
you, Russell.
Thanks, Russell. All right, next week we're going to have Jack Nierad from Kelley Blue Book. He's also going to weigh in on the 54.5 miles per hour or miles per gallon. So you won't want to miss that. And next on the show, we'll talk about Honda's Accord and whether or not it's good for you to drive it. So stay tuned to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, and me, Sybil Summers. Important numbers you need to know, 877-881-1053. If you have a question like Russell did, all you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a shout. You can also fan text us at 43733, and you can even call Autoflex. What are the numbers, David?
It's either 817 or 972. 234-1234, 888-234-1234 if you're somewhere in an outlying area. And if you have a phone allergy, you can go to autoflex.com, our brand new website. And at autoflex.com, you can get an appraisal on your car done. You can build your new car. You can look through all of our inventory there. And you can actually apply and get a car online, which is an easy, easy way to do it, especially when it's going to be 100 and, what is it, 134 today?
I think it's 135, actually.
Okay. Hey, we've got a couple of interesting fan texts. One, I drive 20 to 25,000 miles a year. Is it reasonable to lease a vehicle or purchase it? Here's what's reasonable. Look at what it's going to cost you to lease the car, first of all. And do you have business application? Because that can be a mitigating factor. And then secondly, look at what it costs you to buy a pre-owned car, maybe a year-old pre-owned car. Have an extended warranty on that and look at what your costs are there. It's not always best to lease. It's not always best to buy. There can be different circumstances that dictate why you would want to do one or the other.
I think the main thing you need to determine first about whether you lease or buy a car is how long do you want to keep the car? That's the number one thing to decide. How long do I want to drive this car? Do I want to drive it 3, 4, or 5 years? Or do I want to drive it 8, 9, 10 years? If you want to keep it 3, 4, 5 years, you lease it. And 20 to 25,000 miles a year, no problem at all. We can put a warranty on it. We can cover it for that whole time, so you don't have to worry about anything but maintenance and gas and insurance and making those payments, right? And then if you want to drive it 8, 9, 10 years, of course you buy it because that's the cheapest way to do it. Finance it for the shortest period of time possible and then save money after you've paid it off.
Yeah, the other consideration there, of course, is safety advances and things like that. Because, I mean, if you've got an 8 or 10-year-old car right now, it may not have ABS brakes. It doesn't have side airbags.
Right.
It doesn't have any of the anti-skid systems that they say protect and save a lot of lives every year.
But that's that 8 or 9-year-old car now. He gets that car today that's brand new. It has everything.
But it won't have what a car has in 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, but we don't know about that.
Yeah, but it'll be better. You know, it'll be better.
They'll be flying cars then because we got to have 54.5 miles per the gallon, so we might as well just be flying.
Okay. Another fan text. It's not about saving money. It's about saving the planet. How does everyone feel about that?
Hug a tree.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I do my best to recycle, and I turn out lights, and, you know, I'm doing everything I can, but my budget stop somewhere. I mean, there's only so much money that I have, so I won't be able to afford to buy that car that's going to cost $6,500 more.
Or
I'm going to have to go buy a used car that doesn't have that.
Or $8,400 more, which is what a lot of the experts are saying is between $8,000 and $8,400 to double the mileage that we're getting right now. And that's with a much smaller, much lighter car.
Well, of course. I mean, look at what the little electric car costs.
Yeah, that's true.
The Chevy Volt is $45,000. Let's go. As long as we're rounding up, it's $44,900. $45,000 for that car. Sorry, it's pretty small. $45,000.
If you are the listener that texted in and said it's not about saving money, it's about the planet, what are your feelings on that? I mean, can you spend $40,000 to buy a car that gets that kind of economy and saves the ecology? That was hard to say.
That was.
And the government isn't really, I mean, right now, increasing the fuel economy isn't about saving the planet. It's just to get us less dependent on the foreign oil.
Sure.
Yada, yada, yada. But there's, like David was saying, we didn't get to completely cover that story. There were a lot of deals being made behind closed doors. The trucks aren't going to have to fall into that same category. Just some of the cars and the light trucks will have to increase their fuel economy. There will still be plenty of cars that get really sucky gas mileage that we can all jump in and go, you know, 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds if that's what we want to do. And there's still going to be Suburbans to haul around our 5 and 6 kids because, you know, we didn't know that gas was going to get ridiculously high. So, but for those of us who can save fuel, you know, the other thing is move closer to your job. You know, we don't have to live in Oklahoma when we work in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's another way to do it.
Well, you know what? Next week, we're supposed to have Jack Nerite on. Jack is the executive editor and director of market analysis for Kelley Blue Book nationally. And Jack has done quite a bit of study on the effects of this increased gas mileage that everybody's looking for and what it'll really cost us and also what it'll mean to the marketplace, what it'll do to the economy, all kinds of neat stuff. So We've got Jack coming on next week to cover all that with us and give us his opinion of what the eventualities actually are. And it's not a rosy outlook or a particularly. It's just he's more of an engineer than anything else. And what he's done is sort of broken it down into the finer points of all of the circumstances. And he's going to tell us what it's going to really do. So we'll see.
I'm excited to hear about all that.
So you guys were just talking about driving an 8 or 9 year old car and how the safety features will be different. And
right.
It made me think earlier this week, Sean and RJ from New School in the Mornings were down here in San Antonio. And Choppy, I did not know this, but he won't ride in Sean's car because Sean has a 10 year old navigator. And so Choppy's like, I don't want that breaking down on the way down here.
Right.
So he was complaining that he's been having to drive the whole time. Meanwhile, he won't ride in Sean's car. So I was like, well, you can't have it both ways, Choppy.
No.
but everybody Sean wants needs to it. Call you guys.
Everybody
yeah,
wants it both ways.
That's exactly right.
All right. So we've got some callers here. It looks like we've got Ray from Fort Hood. Ray, you with us?
Yeah.
Hey, okay, Ray.
Welcome to the Saturday morning test drive.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're talking about the whole save the planet thing with the and they've got the leaf and the bolts and all that. Cambridge did a study. I believe it came out just over a month ago. If you go from the beginning of production through the life of the car on the Chevy Bolt and the Leaf. And, you know, how good it's supposed to be for the ecology and all that. But if you go from the beginning of production through replacing the batteries one time through the entire life of the car, it's got a 2-ton larger carbon footprint than a similarly equipped, same-size gasoline-only vehicle.
I am not surprised about that one bit.
But, hey, you get that great, warm, fuzzy feeling driving around with a little green Leaf.
Hey, I'll take my 26 miles to the... per gallon turbo diesel 1-ton dually,
you know,
and smile the whole time because I got to pull horses and stuff like that. I get 26 miles a gallon. I got a turbo diesel, and I got plenty of power and lots of room.
You know what? You are the future, Ray, at least the smart future, because you've got a turbo diesel.
Mm-hmm.
You've got available fuel. It's getting you great mileage given your usage. So
right.
You're leaving a pretty small carbon footprint, and you didn't have to spend $50,000 to do it.
Exactly. And when I want 55 miles to the gallon, I'll throw a leg across the Harley and
there you go.
Me and the wife will go out and enjoy the sunshine and enjoy this Texas weather.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Ray. Yeah, we're all enjoying that
right
now.
Wait till the fall.
We appreciate your call.
All right, 877-881-1053 is the phone number. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, you can also fan text us at 43733.
And I think we've got Jason from the Colony.
Hey, all I've got to say is look where we're at now. You know, we're already suffering from all the greenhouse, whatever, and I think it's pretty sad. I've got a kid and, you know, I'll have grandkids. You know, what are we going to do for the future? You know, what is out there? I mean, you talk about these vehicles, and you talk about, you know, the changing out at least one time. There's got to be something where we don't have to wear blue, you know, sunblock to be able to go out there and enjoy yourself.
You know, you're exactly right, Jason. I think, and we had the head of development for General Motors on a few weeks ago, and in his opinion, it was going to be hydrogen fuel cells that we'll eventually end up with, and that's not certainly this year or even probably 10 years from now, but he said that was the best technology out there to develop a pollution-free
cheap
mode of transportation that was scalable, which was his big thing. In other words, you could build trucks with it or you could build cars with it, and the only emission is water vapor, and hydrogen is the most plentiful element on Earth. So that was his take. How does that sound?
Well, you know, I'm all for what we can do. You know, I mean, I do as much as I can. If he can prove that to me and show that to me, and I've got some smart kids that'll walk right up to him and say, you're full of it. But, you know, if he can show that to me, then that's great. And, you know, one thing, I just have a question. Someone told me that if you fill your car up less, you get better gas. I mean, it's better for the environment instead of filling it up all the way. Is that a true statement?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I think that's one of those urban legend kind of things, bud.
Yeah. I mean, we hear all kind of, I've read lots of different things. You know, if you keeping your gas tank more full, lets less of the fuel vapors evaporate. Who knows? Nobody probably wants to hear my entire side of this thing, but I believe that we will use up this planet eventually. I think that there's a finite life for this planet at the rate that we're going, and that's my bottom line, but we won't go there because that's a whole different story.
Hey, Jason, we've got to go to break right now. Thanks for calling and being on the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
All right, there we go. Stay tuned. We'll be back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. You're on the Saturday Morning Test Drive with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, and me, Sybil Summers, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. 877-881-1053 is the phone number if you have a question or if you want to get in on our hot debate about the new 54.5 miles per gallon that's going to be taking place in 2025. You can also fan text us at 43733. And let's get right back to the phone calls. David, who do we have?
We have Tim in Dallas on line three. Tim?
Yes, sir. I was calling in because I'm a big fan of the Top Gear British show that comes on BBC Network. And I noticed they have a lot of cars that are direct injected diesel engine cars, get 60 and 70 miles to the gallon. Seems like they've embraced that technology a whole lot more than the United States has. And I'm trying to figure out what is our big fear with the diesel and using it. I mean, these cars get great gas mileage, low cost. Why don't we take that same route?
Tim, it's a great question, and it sort of dovetails into a texter that texted in, does anyone except VW and Mercedes-Benz make diesel cars here? And we talked about it in the break, and here's the thing. 50% of everything sold in Europe, and I think Asia too, is diesel. Yeah, and you're exactly right. They get great gas mileage. The direct injection diesel engine gets fabulous economy. One of the things that may have slowed it down a little here is that we have added a tax to diesel so that now it costs about the same thing that gasoline does. If you go back, 20 years, diesel was a good deal less than gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the tax we added, it makes it not is it advantageous price-wise to buy diesel. That may have slowed it down. But I'm with you. I think it's a good plan. And have you ever driven any of those cars in Europe or any of those direct injection diesels?
As a matter of fact, my father was military, and we were stationed in Germany. And
you did.
Amazing.
You grew up that way. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So what would you say about the performance so people understand what those cars can do?
Well, I mean, they have some that have just as much. The new BMW direct injected one is supposedly has as much power as the petrol engine that we have here. It doesn't have the same initial acceleration, but as far as torque, twice the torque normally in the cars, which is what gives you your power to the ground. It just seems like they have a better idea about it than we do.
Well, their fuel prices, their gas prices got a lot higher than ours did in the beginning. So they really had to go a different direction. This is my opinion, but they had to go another direction. So they did go diesel. And our gas prices didn't start really getting painful until really this decade. Well, I mean, I guess we hit it in the 70s. It hit us a little bit, but now we're really starting to suffer, and maybe that is the direction we're going to have to go. But the government, what they put almost a dollar tax on diesel, made it about equal to gas, and so that made diesels not too. I had an Oldsmobile diesel when I was in high school that my dad, for just a brief period, and so we had some diesels, but they just fell out when they put that big gas tax, when they put that big diesel tax on there. I think the car companies just.
Yeah, well, it comes down to what people want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
But
it was
you're
cheaper
right.
to drive a gas car.
Tim, you're exactly right. Those turbo diesels that they have in Europe are great. They get good mileage. They're better on pollution. The new ones are. So, hey, thanks for calling, buddy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Got a couple fan texts here, 43733. My question is, by 2025, if we're using fuel cells, then won't the 55 miles per gallon initiative be pointless?
Pretty well.
Yeah. And we addressed that, that guy talked about fuel cells before. That is the future, hopefully, maybe.
The thing is, we don't have a distribution system right now for hydrogen. And the other thing is, most hydrogen is actually controlled by petroleum companies because hydrogen is used in the distillation of alcohol, of gasoline. They have to, they produce and control pretty well all the hydrogen that's around commercially.
Fancy that.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. And another fan text, isn't diesel a byproduct of gasoline? Why the extra tax for something that's essentially free?
Actually, well, it is a part of the distillation process of gasoline, and it's actually, it distills out, I think, sooner than gasoline does, or at least it costs a little less to distill it. But the reason they taxed it is because the government needed the money.
Yeah, that's why Yeah, it could be free, but the government can still tax it.
Pretty much life story, isn't it?
Get ready for that air tax.
We've got Derek on line one, and he's got a great story for us, or a great question for us. Derek?
Hello.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, I was calling, to figure out what would give you more bang for your buck. I guess he was a 2011, Jeep Cherokee or the Ford Explorer or a Dodge Durango.
Well, right now, just because of this new information about the Ford Explorer, I'm going to choose that one. Mainly because of the new EcoBoost engine and then that option for the turbo four-cylinder. But honestly, you kind of have to line the three up and we do some comparison. I have not compared those three, and now that we've got this new info on the Ford Explorer, I'm gonna say I'd pick the Ford.
I'm going to agree with you. I don't dislike the Durango or Cherokee. I would think from a reliability standpoint, Ford has made the biggest advances recently. If I was betting on something and also considering resale value, I think I'd go with a Ford.
But bang for your buck, you'd have to call our office so that we can really look at each feature side by side. We have on our Flex Lease computer system, we have a program that gives us all of the features of each vehicle. So if you really want to compare what you're getting on each vehicle, that's the way to do it. We don't have that in studio here. But you can call 972 or 817-234-1234 today and be able to compare those. One of the leasing specialists there can email you a comparison of each different vehicle if you're interested.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Derek.
Oh, here's a text. My mom lives in England, and her car gets about 80 miles per gallon, and it's gas. Huh.
Huh.
I don't wonder what it is.
That's really impressive.
My motorcycle doesn't get that. And it's only got two wheels.
That's interesting. I'd like to know what it is.
Well, we've got Scott in Corsicana on line two joining us. Scott?
Hey, man. I heard you say earlier about, the newer cars, they have, anti-lock brakes and everything like that. Well, I've got a 99 Blazer four-wheel drive, and my fiance has a 2007 Ford Ranger, and my truck is anti-lock brake equipped, it's got everything. And her truck, you barely tap the brakes and you're sliding.
Oh.
Well, that's a problem with pickups, too. I mean, that's pretty common with pickups. They're light in the back end, so you get a lot of that sometimes.
And that truck probably is not equipped with, the PosiTrek rear end where it helps transfer that power in the back.
Yeah, that's true, too. But, like I said, mine's a 99, and does that.
How many miles?
Mine?
Yeah.
How many miles do you have?
67,000.
Way to go, Chevy.
All right, now here's the thing. People are always talking about they don't build good cars. Is that a good car, Scott?
Man, I get 25 miles to the gallon in town, but I get 13 on the highway.
Oh, well, there you have it.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Back up a minute.
13? What is it? Are you sure it's not 13 in town and 25 on the highway?
I promise you.
That's weird.
I run about 1,000 RPMs running 35 miles an hour.
Okay.
And I run in 2,500 RPM on a highway at 70.
Gotcha. But
so
you know what?
The gear ratio is set up for a good gas mileage type of day.
Right,
well,
right.
Interesting.
But here's the deal. That's a great truck.
Yeah, it is.
Trying to sell it, people say, 6,000 is too much for it. I was like, does your car get 25 miles in town?
That's a good point. That's a great point. There's some hybrids that would like to do that.
Right.
Scott, thank you very, very much for the call. And like I say, it sounds like a great truck. The problem is that when people look at an older truck, they worry about what might happen to it next.
Right.
And so that's why they're a little cautious on that. But great story from Scott.
Right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening and for chiming in. That's been great today.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for all the phone callers. And in the meantime, if we'll be back next Saturday at 9 a.m. But if you want to call AutoFlex, they're still open today. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. And they do have the Flex Lease computer system, and they can answer a lot more technical questions than we can.
And you can get a lot of car shopping done over the phone rather than outside in 120,000 degrees.
That's right.
So much more pleasant, I promise you.
And I apologize for not getting to the story on the most stolen cars out there, but let me just say one thing. If you're driving a 1994 Honda Accord, get a LoJack.
There you go.
Beware.
And a big old dog.
Yes. So thanks to Waddle on the board, Ted Nichols Payne out here at the Alamo Dome for engineering. Coming up next, it's Chris Arnold. So for David and Tammy, my name's Sybil. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive on 105.3 The Fan. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.